Welcome to Notes from a Drama Watcher, a podcast about East Asian dramas. It's part recap, part review, and there will definitely be spoilers ahead. Hi, welcome to episode 40 of Notes from a Drama Watcher. This is your host, Em. In this episode, we'll be talking about the Korean drama, Destined With You, the Vietnamese BL, Mr. Cinderella Season 2, and the Thai BL, My Dear Gangster Oppa, which I was going to say has just started, but no, because there are already several episodes in. They're halfway through the series at this point. So we're going to start off with Destined With You, and I'm just going to read off a little bit from my drama list, which says, Lee Hong-jo is the lowest grade civil servant. She always does her best at work, even though she suffers from many civil complaints. In her personal life, she's used to being alone. One day, she happens to become the owner of an old wooden chest, and the key to lift occurs from Jang Xin-yu. Jang Xin-yu is a competent lawyer who is smart and good-looking. He's usually in the spotlight wherever he goes, but he suffers from an unexplained disease, and his condition is getting progressively worse. So basically, his family is under a curse. And Lee Hong-jo is played by Jo Bo Ah. Jang Xin-yu is played by Ryo Woon, who was he was in SF9, I believe. He's a former idol. They begin working together. She's a civil service worker, as I said. He was a lawyer in a prestigious law firm. He winds up switching jobs, partially because of this one client that he doesn't like, but he winds up working in civil service as well, basically, in the same workplace as Lee Hong-jo works. This wooden box that was mentioned that she comes in possession of has a spell book inside that has various spells that she can do. Lee Hong-jo is someone who, along with many other people, has a crush on one of the other workers there, another lawyer named Kwon Jae-kyun, and she decides she's going to take one of the spells, which is a love spell, to try to get him to like her. It backfires, and it's Jang Xin-yu who winds up falling under her spell, and they get closer through the show. She doesn't really like him at first because she likes this other person, but she winds up starting to have feelings for him. As they get closer, they realize at a certain point that they knew each other in the past. And by past, I mean that they are reincarnations of two people who loved each other in the past. Part of Jang Xin-yu's curse is that he has this disease he's dying from. And he has these dreams where he feels a bloody hand is touching him. And whenever that happens, his health just deteriorates. And you come to realize over the course of the show whose bloody hand that is exactly. And it's her, it winds up being her bloody hand, her past self. Once she realizes this, of course, this causes a kind of conflict between them because she doesn't want to hurt him, obviously. And she feels like if she's with him, that that'll just speed up his disease and he'll die sooner. Easier said than done for them to be apart from each other because he really loves her at this point of the show. It was a good show by the end. I wasn't fully convinced in the beginning. I mean, speaking of that bloody hand, the show kind of starts off with that. And so it almost seems at first as if this is going to be a horror show, a horror drama. And it really isn't. So if you start watching the show and that's what you're afraid of, don't be afraid of that. It doesn't stay a horror thing that way. I actually had seen the first episode or the first few minutes of the episode a while back. And I stopped watching because I don't have a problem with watching horror shows. I will watch them occasionally, but I have to sort of be in the right mood for it. And at the time, I was just like, oh, I'm not going to watch this. And then I came back to it later and realized that it was not a horror show in that sense. It is kind of a thriller in another sense in that along with them, the romance of them falling in love with each other and along with the mystery of exactly what is going on with him and what this disease is from and where this curse is from, there's also another criminal kind of case going on in that the female lead is being stalked for a good portion of the show. So it is a thriller in that sense. I did wind up finishing the show. It was a little touch and go in the beginning because I actually did not like the female lead's character at all in the beginning. They tried to make her a very quirky kind of person, but they went a little too far in her quirkiness, to the point where I was like, I wasn't feeling a connection with her. He's also a strange character because he's very kind of cold and very reserved. But in a way, I sort of understood him because he knew he was dying and he wasn't really gonna get close to someone. His girlfriend that he did have, he kind of kept her at arm's length, but at the same time, he was experiencing pressure from his father to really kind of hurry up and get married to her and have a child, I guess, to carry on the family line. But he was not in love with her because he also, first of all, again, he didn't really love her, but also I think he realized like she was cheating on him. It's very clear from the beginning that she was cheating on him with someone. And even though he didn't necessarily confront her about it in the beginning, he knew what was going on. And at the same time that that's going on with the curse and the girlfriend and this and that, he's dealing with being under, apparently being under this love spell that Lee Hung Jo had done by mistake. Like I said, they almost made her a little too quirky, but I did make it through the drama. I say recommend it to someone for the romance aspect of it. It is a little bit of a quirky drama. What's interesting about these characters is that they did a good job of showing that he appreciated her quirkiness. And that's kind of what made me accept her by the end of the show, was that I think she was well suited for his character because it was something he appreciated in her. And it was something that was kind of able to draw him out of his shell and his cold exterior that he had set up, to distance himself from the world. The chemistry between the leads was not, it wasn't 100%. I wouldn't say that they had no chemistry, but it wasn't the best chemistry in the world. I never really fully believed them as this like very in love couple, but it was good enough to get me through the show. Overall, an okay show, but it would have been better with a better written female lead. This is not anything about her acting. I don't think I've seen her in anything else, so I can't say much about her acting, but this character needed to be tweaked a little bit, I think. I'm not really going to talk about it here, but I've started another drama, another Korean drama right now. Strong Girl Namsoon, and I'm on episode, I think it's 4 or 5. So it's still ongoing, so that's why I'm not really going to get into it much here. But that drama also has a very quirky female lead, but I think she's written better than this lead in Destined With You. I don't find her as annoying as the Destined With You lead. And again, she sort of improved for Destined With You. She sort of improved a little towards the end, or maybe it's just that I got used to her. I'm not sure, but by the end, I could tolerate her a little more, but in the beginning, it was kind of a real struggle for me not to just turn off the drama completely. And probably really the reason I didn't really turn it off is because of Ryo Won's character. I thought his character was really interesting and wanted to see where that part of the show was going to go, where the fantasy element part of the show, in terms of the curse and the reincarnation went. That part of the storyline kind of got pushed to the side a little bit towards the end when it became more of a thriller and it became more focused on the stalker part of the case. But it still remained sort of interesting, still towards the end. So it may be worth you to give it a chance to watch if you're looking for a new Korean drama to watch. This is not a wholehearted endorsement of the show or anything, but it could be something interesting to watch. The other show that I just finished actually is Mr. Cinderella season 2. That's another show that needed some work done to it, some improvement. It was 8 episodes. Each episode was just a little over half an hour long. It starred the two main leads from the original season of Mr. Cinderella, and then there were some newer characters. They had Tan, who is Kua's brother, who I don't remember them ever mentioning in season one that he had a brother. He had a sister in season one, but I don't remember them ever mentioning he had a brother. And then, strangely enough, here in season two, they never mentioned the sister. And then Deng was back here, the other main lead was back here in season two. And in season two, Deng is part owner of a cafe along with his friend. Kua is now, he's still a doctor, but he's working at a different clinic. And it's, I believe, a year later. In this season, they've changed homes for some reason. They've moved and they've been living happily there. The first couple of, or the first episode, is really sweet, really domestic. You get to see a little bit of their home life. And it's really, it's cute. They are in love. You can tell they're in love. It's just really cute. They're not married because I don't think you can, yeah, Vietnam doesn't have same-sex marriage, but they have made a commitment to each other. There are a couple. Kua gets the news that his brother Tan is coming back. And Tan, who is actually the biological child of their parents, because remember, Kua was adopted. Tan is the biological child. Kua is afraid, or Deng is afraid, that Tan is coming back to take possession of the home. The other new character, along with the brother, is Dr. Kang, who they don't realize at first has any connection to Tan, but it's a doctor who comes to work in the clinic with Kua. This season, what to say about this season? I loved the domestic scenes, the loving scenes between Deng and Kua, but Kua needed to wake up a lot of times during this season. I was just wanting to yell at the screen, wake up. Because Tan is going there, obviously being pretty evil towards Deng. And then Dr. Kang is also acting very fishy. And Kua is just, he's realizing that they're acting fishy, but he's not doing anything about it and doing anything about the way they're treating Deng. And I didn't really get it because I don't know what doctors are paid in Vietnam, but Deng is partial owner of a cafe that seems to be doing okay. In episode one, he talks about having savings, so financially they seem okay. I imagine as a doctor in the clinic, he's getting a salary. I don't know if they're as highly paid in Vietnam as, comparatively, as highly paid as many physicians are here in the US, but he is drawing a salary of some sort. And so many times during the series, I was yelling at Kua through the screen, like, you need to take Deng out of that house. They're treating him terribly. He, actually, physically, at one point, being physically abusive towards him. And why are you letting him be tortured there? Go live somewhere else. You have enough money to go rent an apartment somewhere else or something like that. So I didn't quite understand why he was letting this go on for as long as it was. I know they were, of course, trying to add drama in the show, but realistically, I just didn't get it. Why you would let your loved one be treated that way. I don't know if it was partially the guilt he felt towards Tan, because it turned out, well, as I say in the intro, there's gonna be a lot of, there's spoilers in my podcast. You see in the past that Tan liked Kua, was in love with him, not as a brother, but as a boyfriend. And Kua had promised him that they would get married in the future or something. And so Tan still has this in his head, even though he was, years have passed, I believe it's 6 years have passed. He was in an accident in Thailand and he went through a lot. He's been separated from Kua for all these years and he's still, I don't know that he was holding in his head that he wanted to get back together with Kua, but he blames Kua for abandoning him. Because when he went to Thailand, he got into an accident, a very bad accident, where his arm was actually partially severed. They were able to reconnect it, but it affected him, and he was unable to continue with his music career. So he has a lot of anger in his heart towards Kua. But even when they showed those past scenes, I never really got the sense that Kua loved him, actually. So he did kind of string him along, I feel, in that sense, which was a bad on his part. So I don't know if that was the thing that he felt such a guilt towards him, that that's why he just was letting him get away with stuff, with acting the way that he was. But The problem is, most times Kua was over there in his clinic working, and Deng was the one at home dealing with the resentment and anger that Tan was feeling. And that's unfair to Deng because he really had nothing to do with that. He didn't even know them 6 years ago. So why is he the one being punished for whatever happened between them? You also had this new character, Dr. Kang, who was the one who operated on Tan in Thailand, and so that's how they met and became close. And at first I thought Kang might have been in love with him, and that's why he was doing so many things, helping him to basically mistreat other people. But towards the end, it seemed like he really didn't love him in that way. So I don't understand what his motivations were. He even causes real harm to Kua's career at one point of the show. And it was just weird because, I mean, not that I'm advocating anyone causing any harm, but it would be sort of understandable in terms of a drama if he was doing something for this person he loved and whatever, but it didn't seem like he loved him in that way. So why was he going so far as to harm someone's career when it could have easily backfired on him and he could have been the one harmed? I didn't really understand it, or I didn't understand his motivation. Tan and Kang, besides the issue of possibly harming Kua's career, was something happened in one of the episodes where they caused real harm to the relationship between Deng and Kua to the point where they basically broke up, or Deng decided to separate himself. Kua didn't want to, he doesn't want to separate from Deng, but Deng decided to separate himself, which I kind of thought was the right call. Not necessarily for the reasons, because what happened was not 100% Kua's fault. He was kind of under the influence, but I think it was good for Deng to separate himself and get himself out of that house, because at that point of the show, I was really fearing for his safety. So good for him that he left, because Kua wasn't gonna take him out for whatever reason. But after all of that angst and everything, in the last episode, they just all part on good terms. Kang and Tan decide to leave, but it's not. If I was Kua and I knew what he had done, so the threat to Kua's career was Kang switched some medicine or something that was needed for surgery, and it caused harm to a patient. Like, let alone Kua's career, it caused harm to a patient. I think I would have reported that, and he didn't. Kua didn't. And Kang just goes on his merry way, kind of like, oh, sorry, did he even say sorry? I don't even remember. And they just leave. That's it. They just leave. After all of that they did. And it just didn't make sense to me. Even Deng comes back and is like smiling, like, oh, bye, kind of have a good trip thing. And it's like, no, that's not realistic. Most people would be pretty upset about everything that, if they had gone through everything that Deng had gone through. I mean, Dr. Kang actually also sexually assaulted or attempted to sexually assault Deng's friend, and there's no consequence for it. I'm not saying that in the show they would have necessarily called the police, but there's no yelling at him. There's no, what the heck did you do to my friend, or nothing. It was strange. I found it very strange. And then the way the last episode was edited, it was also weird because the goodbye and all that was like the first half, or it was kind of like 3/4 of the episode, and then it looked like the show was ending, and you could obviously tell there was a lot of minutes left to the show on YouTube, so it was weird. I think they had the credits and everything, and then after that they show basically a bunch of different kind of chopped up scenes kind of thing, showing that Kua and Deng work through their problems finally, and then eventually they do get back together. But it was filmed very oddly, as if they had filmed another episode, didn't have enough, or decided they wanted to stop at episode 8, and they were just like, okay, we're just gonna throw this in at the end of episode 8. It was just done in a very strange manner. It was unfortunate because I know there are a lot of people who hate season 2s of shows. I don't. I think if something's really good, I'm fine with having a sequel to it, but it doesn't always work, and this show is an example of it not working. The first episode I thought was actually really good, showing the domestic scenes and how good they were together, etc. But it just kind of lost its way. It kind of drags, actually. They probably could have made a six episode or even maybe four episode season two, although I'm sure people might have complained if it was only a four episode season two, but I feel like that's all the story that they had was for maybe four or six episodes. Eight episodes, the story really dragged at certain points, even though, like I said, the episodes were only just a bit over half an hour long, and yet the story still felt like it was dragging at certain points. So they just didn't have enough story for a season two, for an eight episode season two. They should have made it shorter, or even just done a special, perhaps. It was just a little disappointing because I actually really liked season one. And then also, they're always asking for donations in the company that it's O2 Productions that does Mr. Cinderella and has done several other Vietnamese BLs. They're always asking for donations, and it looks like the company's in trouble, etc. And I kind of would hate to think that the last show we get from them is one that was a little bit of a disappointment like this. I believe they are working on another show, but whether or not they'll have enough funds to complete it, I don't know. It's funny because, as I mentioned, they did change locations, the home and the clinic actually, from season one. And you can tell this home, whatever home this was that they were in, looked really gorgeous from the outside and everything. And I was like, don't tell me that because they possibly increased the budget for the production of the show, maybe for filming locations, etc. Don't tell me that's what they spent their money on when it might have been spent better elsewhere. I mean, having a good story, having good writing, having a good plot is really more important than filming in a beautiful location, at least for me. So, yeah, not a terrible show by any means, but not completely necessary. So, if you're watching other things, if you saw season one and you're watching other things and you don't have time to watch season two, that's perfectly fine. Season one was good on its own, and you really don't need to watch season two unless you really, really like melodrama. And then, last but not least, I'm going to talk about My Dear Gangsta Oppa, and that is starring Mean and Ping from I Long Nai, if you've seen I Long Nai. And it can be found on iQIYI. I don't think I mentioned where the other ones could be found. So, Mr. Cinderella season one and two can be found on YouTube on the O2 Productions channel. And then the K-drama Destined With You can be found on Netflix, at least in the US region. It's on Netflix. So, My Dear Gangsta Oppa, starring Mean and Ping. As I said, they were in I Long Nai. A lot of people don't like I Long Nai. I'm gonna make a confession right now. I actually really like I Long Nai. There's just something about it. There's always that one show that you like, and you cannot really explain to anyone what it is that you like about it. I would say for me, that might be I Long Nai. There's no big drama in this show or anything. There's no deep storytelling or anything, but it's just a cute show with characters who are well suited to each other. Nai, who's played by Ping, is a very kind of naive kind of character, but he's a character who likes to be taken care of. And Mean's character, Ayaret, is someone who wants to take care of him. So they're well suited to each other. These characters in My Dear Gangsta Oppa are not exactly that, but the chemistry between these two actors, it wasn't just a one-time thing, because they have good chemistry in I Long Nai, you can tell. They also have good chemistry here in My Dear Gangster Oppa. So in My Dear Gangster Oppa, Ping plays the role of Guy, who is a college student who is an introvert. He has a hard time talking to people in real life, making friends with people. He has one good friend in real life named Wall, and then the rest of his friends are friends that he's made gaming online, and in episode one, he still hasn't met them in real life yet. One of his online friends is named Yuri, who he thinks is female, but this Yuri is actually Mean's character, who is named too. And when they first meet in person, they actually meet in an aquarium, and guy is, kind of trying to talk to him, and Tu's not very communicative. He's just kind of like staring at him or whatever. And of course, that just makes Guy more and more nervous. But you find out later on in another episode that really it's because Tu, for him, it was love at first sight. And that's probably, he's just like staring because it was love at first sight. So you really see the chemistry between them from the beginning when they first meet in the show. And for Guy, it's not necessarily love at first sight for him, because the thing with his character is he actually has feelings for his friend Wall. So the problem is that Wall, or it's not a problem, it's just life, but Wall has a girlfriend. So for Guy, it's never going to happen between them. And also, here's this person kind of coming between them a little bit. So there's that thing. So he's not completely even open to the idea of anyone else. He's not even thinking of it. He's just trying to really make some new friends and compartmentalize those feelings that he has for Wall and just branch out and make other friends, because up until now, his let alone the romantic part of it or his romantic feelings, but his only friend is Wall. So to save kind of his own heartbreak, he's trying to branch out. And so he meets Tu first out of their online friend group, and then he does meet the other people later on. Now we learn that Tu also is kind of an introverted person, but his reasons for that, unbeknownst to Guy, is that Tu is actually a member of the mafia or the mob. And so he wants to keep Guy separate from that world because he doesn't want Guy to get hurt. So they are currently up to episode 4, and I'm all caught up in episode 4. And there's just a lot of conflicting feelings all over the place around here. Again, for two, it was love at first sight. And I don't know if he was already even feeling the closest for him in the game, even before they even met in person, but in person, it's love at first sight. For Guy, he's in his own head, and he's been in his own head for so long that it takes him a little bit to even recognize what he's feeling himself. He actually does begin to like Tu and feel a closeness towards Tu, but he doesn't even recognize that in himself because he's just been this whole time trying to kind of deny his feelings because of the situation that's going on with Wall. And for Wall is constantly in these episodes like trying to interfere with Guy branching out, because he, for him, Tu is kind of a threat. Even if he doesn't like Guy in the romantic sense, this is just my interpretation. I feel like for Wall, Guy is always there. Because Guy's not involved with anyone else and is, an introvert, he knows whenever he looks for Guy, calls Guy, whatever it might be, Guy's gonna be there. So he feels kind of threatened that Guy is meeting in person with these online friends, meeting to. So for him, it's like, well, Guy's not there all the time because now Guy is playing this game with these people, and now Guy is going out to have lunch with these people. So it's actually a real threat for him, and he starts to interfere with things with Guy. And Mean's character too is kind of a really perceptive person, because he kind of recognizes this in Wall's character that, yeah, he's been a friend to Guy all this time, but he's kind of hurting him too. Because he actually tells Guy, because Guy says, yeah, he takes care of me, he's my friend. And Tu points out to him, if he's taking such good care of you, why are you so lonely? It makes Guy think. And he does begin to change over the course of the show, change and grow. And besides the romantic aspect of it, of Tu and Guy getting together, I'll be curious to see where the friendship between Guy and Wall is by the end of the show. Because if Wall has to learn to give Guy some space to grow and to realize Guy's going to have his own interests and isn't always going to be there on call for him. And he has to realize too that Guy had to learn this as well, because Guy also has had to step back and remove himself a little bit for this new person in Wall's life, Wall's girlfriend. But Wall has to learn not to interfere. I mean, he's even the one who tells Guy about Two being a gangster or having been arrested or whatever, because he's trying to separate them and it doesn't work. I mean, it's kind of too late because Guy has already started to develop feelings for Two. He didn't recognize what those feelings were, but he had developed some feeling. He had developed a feeling of closeness with Two. And so he couldn't just separate himself like that, like I guess Wall expected him to. And Two, like I said, is very perceptive, and he's the one who points out to Guy, part of the reason you're upset and everything right now is because of the closeness we were having with each other, and you're feeling disappointed about it. So that was interesting to see this perceptiveness and this sensitivity, right, from someone who's actually supposed to be this hardcore gangster. And we see it is only an episode show, they're moving kind of quickly, but we do see a little bit of Two's backstory and how he even came into this life. And it's a very sad story. And he, I think, felt like he didn't have anything to live for before. So he didn't care that he was in this life, I think. But now that he's met Guy, he has something to live for and something to change for. And this is just going to affect the course of his life. And he even decides he's going to try to leave the mafia for Guy. And that's kind of scary because I don't, that's not something you can just walk away from. It is kind of quick that he's going to do this big life change that can potentially be dangerous for him, for someone who he sort of just met in person. I don't think they ever said how long they were gaming together. So it could have been a long time, but at least in person, they only met fairly recently. But again, it's an 8-episode show. They have to move quickly. This was my issue with Laws of Attraction, that they fell in love, got married, etc., you know, really quickly. But when it's 8 episodes, that's what you have to do. But it's not too unbelievable. They're moving at a somewhat good pace, but I'm just scared for Two. I don't know what's gonna happen when he tries to leave this life behind. I'm liking the show so far. Again, Guy is this kind of naive character. Reminds me a lot of Nai and Ai Lung Nai, but that's partially just because of the way Ping looks, because he's got that kind of innocent face to him. So they're just giving him these roles. And then Mean doesn't necessarily look gangster type, but he's close enough. I think he's fairly convincing in this role. It's not completely unbelievable. I tried to, so I didn't watch Unforgotten Night all the way through. But with that one, I was just not convinced by the gangster character in there. I actually find Mean a little more convincing, particularly because we got, maybe, again, I didn't watch Unforgotten Night from the beginning, so they probably got into his backstory and I just don't even know it. But here in My Dear Gangster Opa, when they show Mean's backstory, I'm sorry, Two's backstory, you understand a little more why he's in this life. And you actually see when he's performing his duties, he's not performing it out of a sense of glee that he likes hurting people or anything like that. It's just something he has to do and something he's just fallen into. And I think he's convincing in that way. The fight scenes leave a little bit to be desired. But that's just something I think that just needs to be worked on over time. I saw a little bit of the behind the scenes, and this is the first kind of action role that Mean has, so it's understandable that he's not fully convincing as someone who's going around, you know, kicking people's butts, but close enough, you get the gist of the character that he's portraying. So I think this is definitely worth a watch. Out of all the three shows I'm talking about today, this one's definitely worth a watch. It's moving quickly, as I said, because it's 8 episodes and they're already finished episode 4. But if you liked Ai Lung Nai, you know, for the chemistry between these two, the chemistry definitely is carrying over here. A lot of people I'm seeing online, a lot of people cannot stand the character of Wall, but that's actually a good thing. That means the actor is doing a good job in the role. It's not that I can't stand him, it's just he's an interesting character because I think he's got a lot of growing to do, and we'll see if he does it without bringing too much heartache to Guy, because I don't want Guy to lose this his best friend in the deal. So I'm looking forward to more. I hope that Mean too can get away unscathed from the mafia. I don't think it'll happen though, because I've already seen the trailer for episode 5, and he's getting beat up there, unfortunately. So, but that's kind of to be expected if, for someone who's trying to leave that life. So, I think definitely worth watching, even though it's mafia. It's kind of a little lighthearted, nothing super serious. It's serious means backstory, but I meant serious in terms of it's not a gory kind of show. They're not showing people being violently killed or anything like that, but I think it's worth a watch. So that's it for today's episode, episode 40. I'm going to continue watching My Dear Gangster Opa. Bake Me Please has begun. I have not started watching it yet, but I do plan to. That is a Thai BL. It's starring, oh, what is it? Guide is his name. He's the actor who played Ming in I Feel You Linger in the Air, if you've been watching that. Bake Me Please is on Gaga Ooh La La. And it's also starring Ohm from Until We Meet Again. So he's got a new pairing. So that'll be interesting. So do plan to watch that. And then I'll continue with my K-drama, Strong Girl Namsoon, which I hope to do a review for here in the podcast when the show finishes. Like I said, it's still ongoing. So anyway, that's the end. Thanks for listening. If you are in the US and you celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you have a wonderful, healthy, happy holiday. Be safe, everyone.